Hello and welcome to the Interior Design Business. My name is Jeff Hayward and I'm joined by my co-host Susie Rumbold, past president of the British Institute of Interior Design and creative director of Tessuto Interiors, in front of a live audience of designers at Decorex 2024. Today we will be discussing interior design for clients with pets.
The British have always been famously crazy about their animals, cosseting them with as much tender treatment as they do their children. Historically, royal patronage cemented the idea that the English home was not quite complete without a pet dog. But in recent years, and especially since COVID, the level of ownership and indulgence has gone off the charts. Today, there are 13.5 million dogs, 12.5 million cats, 1.5 million birds, and 1 million pet rabbits in the UK, plus nearly a million each of tortoises, horses, guinea pigs, hamsters, and snakes. Unsurprisingly, interior designers are now being asked to design spas and bespoke bedrooms, especially for pampered pets of all shapes and sizes, treating them as significant stakeholders in their projects. But how have we ended up here? Is this a trend that's here to stay? And is this a uniquely British phenomenon, or is it global? Welcome to the Interior Design Business. Woo!
We are joined by Lynn Arbid from Studio Indigo, Katrina Burrows, Interiors Editor for The Times and The Sunday Times, and Joe Sampson from Absolute Project Management for this discussion. Welcome, everybody.
Before we begin, could you please each give us a brief introduction to yourself and whether you actually have any beloved pets? Lynn, do you want to start?
Hi, everyone. My name is Lynn. I'm the co-director of Interiors at Studio Indigo. We are a team of 45 based in Chelsea. We've been around since 2005, working on the high-end residential sector, commercial, hospitality, and yachting industry as well. Our work is very diverse, just like our clients. We like to take them on a journey. We tailor their interiors to their vision. Regarding pets, at the moment, I do not own a pet, but I'm the proud auntie to many, many little cute dogs. And I'm also very lucky that our office is very pet friendly. So we have dogs coming into the office every day, and that is just a recipe. So
Katrina?
I'm Katrina Burrows. I'm Interiors Editor of Times and Sunday Times. And our readers absolutely adore features on pets, I have to say. I mean, Interiors Editor, it sounds like I'm writing about decor all the time. But in the last fortnight, I've written something on keeping pet ducks, the most luxurious horse boxes, and then luxury for dogs. So it's absolutely our field. I'm the owner of Robert the Labrador, who has his own Instagram account if anyone wants to check on his progress. He's a much-loved but fairly untrainable black Labrador. And I have to warn anyone who's thinking of getting a Labrador about the shedding. If hair were gold, I would be a squillionaire.
Finally, Joe.
Hi, I'm Joe Sampson. I'm the design director of Absolute Project Management. We're a design studio based in North London, specialising in interior renovation. And yes, I am a proud owner of a small dog called Shabba. She's a border terrier. She is the queen of my house. And similar shedding issues, I actually cut myself out these trousers this morning and had to give everything a good lint rollering. And she's still with me. So
fantastic. So Lynn, what have been the main drivers for the recent increase, do you think, in pet ownership?
I think there is a lot of different reasons. We've definitely seen a big growth, but I think one of the first is obviously the pandemic. A lot of our clients and around us, people we know, you know, have sought to find, you know, a companion for multiple reasons. And on the back of that as well, the fact that, you know, people are traveling more with the flexibility of working remotely and having a nomad lifestyle has also increased the fact and given them the ability, you know, to own a pet. And another thing that we've seen even more recently is with the newer generation, the millennial, the Gen X and the Gen Z, their relationship with pets is more of an emotional bond. I mean, a lot of people, you know, always have had, you know, an importance with a pet, but there's this new trend of like fur babies, which means that for them, you know, it's their whole world. So they have to accommodate their lifestyle and their household accordingly to the needs of their pets.
As someone who writes about pets and pet ownership and pet design all the time, Katrina, what benefits do you think people are getting from their pets?
Well, from the point of view of someone writing about interiors, I know that the major question all our readers were asking themselves since the beginning of the pandemic till today is how to make a house a home. A pet somehow acts as the sort of emotional central heating for your house and makes it into a home. I think that's why they're so interested in not only owning them, but how to decorate around them to make, you know, a secure and happy environment for the pet and their family.
Can anybody tell me, what is barkitecture?
Do you know about barkitecture? To go.
I think it's the trend of really incorporating your space, your interior, your home to really cater to the need of your pet. So it's like finding ways to, you know, integrate things within the architecture, from doggy cubbies inside of a joinery to dog bowls inside of a skirting to dedicated wellness areas for your dog. You know, if you have the opportunity, you would have like some sort of like little grooming space for your pet. But now more days we see it with our clients that they request very specific dedicated areas for their dogs, from wellness to even a catering station where there, you know, somebody would come and meal prep the food for their dog, because it is important for us, you know, to eat healthy. Their dogs as well, or their pets, need to also have a healthy lifestyle.
So would you say that there's been a fundamental shift and that clients are now treating their pets as key stakeholders in their projects, Jo?
Yes, I think that's right. People are both treating their pets as stakeholders, and then the existence of the pet changes the stakeholder need of the client. So in particular, you know, there's a lot of particular sorts of cleaning involved when you have a pet, whether that's cleaning out litter trays, dealing with your dog being filthy, and so making that a more pleasant experience.
Pet hair.
Pet hair, exactly. So having that all be a more pleasant experience for the owner, I think, is really key. And then, yeah, exactly as we were talking about before, people want the dog or the cat to be a member of the family, and for them to have lovely places to sleep that are comfortable for them but also fit with the scheme. And so in the same way as having a small child might end up being a stakeholder, the pet is the same.
Katrina, are there any areas of the home that are off limits for pets?
What an odd question. No, there aren't, Jeff. No. That there are areas that have been customised particularly for pets. And there are some areas that are specific to pets and not off limits, obviously, to humans, but very much customised around the pets. So the kitchen is the main place. And all the kitchen studios, you know, right from the basic ones to the, you know, the incredibly prestige ones, are designing in pet beds in the cabinetry, underneath a drawer. I saw a lovely thing from Roundhouse the other day, which is they have a little bit like baby guards. They have little fences that come out from either side of an island to make sure you can put the dog in a safe space while you carry pots and pans back and forth, and they can still keep an eye out for treats.
Wow. That's true. That isolates the dog from the food prep areas. So there's a kind of a hygiene aspect of this too. It's such a clever idea. Mm. And I think even Hammonds have lots of advice for people designing pet-friendly kitchens. Yes. to make your point. Yes. About the lower end of the market as well. I think one of the other things that's become really popular is sort of pet bathrooms. I think mud rooms in particular. Why have these become such a popular home feature?
I think it goes back to the fact that they're a family member. Just like we have our own space, you know, to take care of ourselves, they should also have a space, you know, for them to, you know, to be groomed, to be, you know, taken care of. And I think it's becoming even more popular because the importance that these pets have, you know, in your family. So, for example, we've just finished a project recently in Kensington where for the client, it was extremely, she has five dogs. So it was really important that the mudroom, but for her, it was a wellness area for her dogs, that she walks in and it feels like a spa. It doesn't just feel like, you know, just an extension of a boot room. It needs to feel as luxurious, as aesthetically, you know, pleasing as her principal bathroom. So we worked very closely with her to make sure, you know, the architecture is very on point, that we selected beautiful, you know, textured tiles for the dog shower, even though I'm not really sure the dog would really notice all of that. But, you know, that was really important for her, because if she goes into a space and she feels comfortable, she wants the same for her dogs.
Are you doing any crazy mudroom, shower room things, Jo?
We've not done any sort of super high-end wellness type ones, but we've definitely had separate facilities for dogs. So we've put in a dog shower in a client's house. And I think, you know, as well as all the aesthetic reasons, if you've ever tried to wash a dog that didn't want to be washed, you really understand the requirements for kind of an ergonomically designed space where the dog is in a nice big space but can't get out and you can hold them still. Like, the practical benefits are really life-enhancing. But we've also, in smaller homes, just when clients have had room for, say, a utility room but not a dedicated dog area, a butler sink is suddenly a really big game changer for clients in spaces like that, because that's big enough to wash a small dog, it's big enough to wash a litter tray. So even if there aren't separate spaces dedicated, quite often the dog or cat washing needs are baked into the normal bathroom or utility room spaces.
I love the idea of wellness and spa areas for dogs. Do you think that's a growth business, Trina?
It's fabulous, isn't it? It brought to mind, when you said a dog that doesn't want to be washed, I'm wondering how this example that I've heard of works out. There's a Clive Christian built laundry room plus dog spa. It's for a client in the States, for a little Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. And it's a beautiful room, it's all blue and white, but the wallpaper is de Gournay, printed on silk.
Oh,
and the idea is that the client and the dog...
Probably hand painted on silk.
It's probably hand painted.
Hand painted silk wallpaper for a dog bathroom.
The idea is they have a lovely time hanging out together in their favourite place, and the dog ends up clean, and so do the clothes.
What about places for pets to sleep?
Actually, to date, we haven't done any of that. I've seen lots of the lovely built-in ones that you get under stairs and in kitchens, and I think that's super cute. Most of our clients have gone down the route of a normal dog bed, but in lovely finishes. But I think one of the other things that I always encourage our clients to think about is, actually, pragmatically, a lot of people crate train their pets. So if you've done that, what you actually need to think about is where that crate is going to live. And so making sure that, whether that's a space on a landing or in the corner of a kitchen, that what is frankly quite an ugly item can have a home where it's not obtrusive, because once you've trained the dog that that's where they're sleeping, that's kind of where they want to sleep for the rest of time.
Katrina, are you seeing lots of interesting things for pets to sleep?
Oh, yes.
With their owners? Go on, please share.
The one I like the look of most, because it's so beautifully integrated in architecture, is the understairs fix. People cut out an oval in just under the stairs, and then they furnish it like a room. There was one, Naomi Astley Clark, let's get her name right, asked Freddie Wimsett, who does beautiful murals, to paint around the bottom of this arch at the bottom of the stairs, and it's furnished, and it has a plant and pictures, little artworks on the walls. So that's one excellent example.
Very restful and relaxing for the dog. And what about places where the pets can sleep with their owners? Are you seeing anything around that?
Ah, yes, this is still the Chelsea triplex. In the same project, there's bunk beds for the daughters, two young girls that sleep in the same room. And between the bunks, there's a space for the dog to curl up. Isn't that sweet?
Wow. Now, Lynn, I know that Studio Indigo have done some really interesting work with stairs and lifts.
So we worked on this property, an amazing property in Kensington, about 12,000 square foot, where we had this amazing feature of a staircase that was cantilevered, and it was on 7 floors. And the client had 3 dogs, including a little dachshund that was disabled. So you can imagine those poor dogs going up 7 stairs on a cantilever, you know, type of staircase, including that the family room was on the top floor. So we were lucky, obviously, that the property had a lift. And so we did our research, and we found that there are little sensors that can activate the lift and allow for the dog to basically be brought up from the ground floor all the way to the top floor. And it's a really nifty little tool. So basically the sensor is at the low level, so it identifies the heights of the pets. They walk up to the door, and basically the lift knows, comes down, picks them up, and it's really cute to just see them come out of the lift, you know, like ready for like their meals that's on the kitchen on the top floor.
And are the dogs tuned in to the fact that the sensor is there and is now operating for them?
Completely. It's like they just know. And, you know, they recently got another dog, and Rufus just got very easily into the routine of knowing that this lift is there for him to take him to the top floor and they just know and they wait. It's really cute. Like, you literally just see them. They sit, they wait, the door opens and they go up.
I love it. What about, are you seeing any technology-driven projects with pets?
You know, more of these cameras or audio things that you can control from home, because even though we've talked about, you know, the fact that there's a lot more flexibility of people being more at home than before, there's still, you know, some people that cannot. So I can see that the technology is evolving with allowing people, you know, to be present with their pets, but not necessarily be there to feed them or to reassure them.
There are lots of automatic feeding systems and watering systems for pets now. And I think the other thing that's being integrated is in some of these dedicated pet sleeping areas, the lighting. So, you know, the dog goes into its little cozy corner and then the lights will dim slowly. Circadian lighting. Circadian lighting for dogs, exactly. But it means that the rest of the kitchen lighting can still be on and the dog can just go in and have a bit of a snooze. So I think there's definitely all sorts of pet tech. I don't know whether anyone's come up with pet smell technology yet, but it'll come, I'm sure. Okay. Actually, while I've got the mic, I'll probably ask the next question. What about pet facilities outside the home? Katrina, I think you had some great examples of things like luxury horse boxes.
Yes, I've been writing about a luxury
horse box. It's by Philippa Thorpe, and she did it for a friend of hers who is a very keen show jumper. But the most luxurious bits are actually dedicated to the humans in it. So she spends weeks away from home, and in her horse box she said, I want 5-star luxury because I would be staying in a good hotel if I wasn't here. So she has, you know, white leather upholstery. She has, is it called Starlink, Wi-Fi that works wherever you are in the world. The luxurious bit for the horses is they have a tank big enough of water and heating facilities so they can have a hot shower every day.
Okay. And I guess all of these spaces require pet furniture. So are there specialist companies now that have sprung up to service the crazy owners and their pets market?
I found one when I was looking. Actually, all of the interior designers, of course, do bespoke furniture for every single project. So it's madness to think that they can't and they won't. But I did find someone called the Pet Carpenter online who make furniture for dogs and cats and rabbits. So I think their mantra is, if we can put a dog bed in it, we will. There are pantries with dog beds in them. There are drawers that pull out with a range of bowls in the bottom so you can feed the pet. And you should go and look at the rabbit houses. They're on two levels and there's a rabbit ramp going up to the top level so they can play
rabbit around. Houses.
Rabbit houses integrated into furniture.
Amazing. Joe, I can see your mind turning. You're getting loads of ideas here, aren't you?
Exactly. I love all of those ideas. The one thing I would just say on the pullout with the bowls in it, because I've seen that online quite a lot, people do need to have a bowl visible somewhere for water all day. I think that's one of those like really cute internet things where you're like, oh, great, I can put all the dog mess away. It's like, no, you've still got to have like dribbly dog drinking facilities out. But people do lovely things where they integrate them into plant pots. When your dog dribbles, you water the plants, and it's all very beautiful. It's cute, isn't it?
No, that's really genius. So, in terms, have there been any other innovations in the area of particularly dog kennels and beds that anyone's aware of?
I heard somebody talking about noise-cancelling kennels and bed areas. Is
yes.
that a thing?
I believe that was actually developed by the Ford Motor Company, produced for one of the architecture competitions, a noise-cancelling kennel where the dog can go in. So if a dog's frightened of thunder or fireworks, for example, it can go into this kennel and its ears won't be hurt by loud bangs and noises, which I thought was really amazing. And then when I was doing a bit of research on this subject, I also came across orthopaedic dog beds, again, specifically perhaps for some species, some dog breeds that suffer with spinal problems like Dachshunds, sausage dogs, which are really popular. And then I also came across one which was an anxiety-reducing pet bed. It wasn't clear from the advertising whether it was to reduce the anxiety of the client or to reduce the anxiety of the pet. And when I drilled down into the product description, it kind of went a bit vague on me, so I'm not really sure how that's working, but that's what it's being sold as.
What about climbing walls for cats? That's got to be a thing, hasn't it, Jo?
Certainly, sort of climbing walls and more aesthetically pleasing than usual. Climbing posts are a thing we've seen. But we've also done an interesting thing where our clients put in some lovely new doors at the back of their house, didn't want them ruined by a cat flap. So put the cat flap on the first floor of the house, but then the cat has to be able to get down from the roof into the garden. So rather than a climbing wall, we actually designed the fence to work as a flight of steps to allow the cat to get down. So kind of climbing wall access all in one.
Wow. And what about cat-friendly rugs, Lynn, or
yes,
coverings? Because you've got to protect those as well, but give something for the cats, I guess.
So actually, we had a client who had two cats that she absolutely loved, but also she didn't want to see, you know, those cat steps so that they can scratch. So we decided, and might not be, you know, everyone's cup of tea, but we decided to go for a rug made out of jute in the kitchen area. So that would be basically where the cat would just, you know, go and scratch and play around and all, so that it was aesthetically pleasing for her to look at, but then also very nice for the cat to enjoy.
And Katrina, do any famous fashion labels produce some of this furniture?
So Gucci have a dog bed. It's under 5,000.
Oh, okay.
I found another. But my favourite is the Christopher Howe one, which is about 15 grand. And he first saw the original that he's based it on in a stately home at the top of a set of stairs with two Great Danes lying on it. It was a human couch. And then he developed this absolutely beautiful dog bed covered in his most durable fabrics for crazy dog owners to buy.
£15,000 for the dog bed?
Yes.
Okay.
Run, don't walk.
So apart from the specialist areas we've already covered, and for maybe those clients with smaller budgets and less space than 12,000 square foot houses in Kensington, what practical considerations would you say are necessary when designing for pets? Can I pass this one to you?
I think about it through all the same lenses as any other kind of design, but definitely thinking about layout in terms of what zones do you want to be able to have be for your pet and which ones do you not. I love the roundhouse gating idea, and it doesn't have to be a roundhouse one, but you do need to think about which rooms do you not want to have doors shut to be able to gate off. And that can all be done quite cheaply. Certainly thinking about the cleaning requirements, as we've said. And just things as simple as, you know, in my house, I've got a front door and then I've got an inner porch door. And when I first moved in, I was like, that's going, that's an inconvenience. And then we got a dog and I was like, I'm really glad I've got what is effectively an airlock. So thinking about which pet behaviours you're going to manage through training and which ones you're going to have to manage with the physical layout.
Just going to say, I wonder what the future of the dog flap is, because I know in London, our insurers don't really like us having dog flaps, do they? But
no.
Some of the interior designers I spoke to have made very clever ways for pets to get out into the garden, usually from the kitchen. So I know a beagle known to me in Parsons Green has his own little black painted front door, a little bit like 10 Downing Street, if you can imagine. And he can open it and there's a tunnel through to a Wendy house in the garden with heating and lighting. Clearly.
The dog's house is the Wendy house.
The dog's Wendy house. So he's got that as a sort of an escape. He can go out in the garden. And none of these areas are really big enough for whole humans to fit into. So it's like a very luxurious form of the dog flap.
But I do wonder if that's, again, where technology could come to the rescue. You know, you could have iris recognition, puppy dog iris recognition, that the door would only open for the specific pet. Because there was a really interesting documentary done a few years ago now, tracing what cats did at night. Don't know whether anyone ever saw that. They put cameras on lots of cats in a neighbourhood and just monitored where they went at night, and there were literally cat parties going on. So where you've got a cat flap, it wasn't just your cat coming in, it was the cat from next door and the one over the way, and there were, you know, seven or eight cats having an ease up in some people's sitting rooms. It was crazy. So, you know, I just wonder whether tech could help us here, maybe.
Maybe iris recognition, it could be a thing to come. What about allergies, Lynn? Is there anything that designers can do to alleviate owners who might have pet allergies?
To medicate away from allergies, we have to be, us as designers, we ask basically the client, first of all, what are their allergies, how we can find, you know, solutions for them. If, for example, their pet are allergic to certain things, then, you know, it's a question of, like, you know, making sure we're using, you know, non-toxic materials or, you know, the right fibers in terms of the materials for them. Usually, I mean, unless it's like a very like a severe allergy, most of everything is okay for the pets. And we try usually also to stay more with like materials that are pet friendly, like solution dyed acrylic materials that are not very toxic for them, but also easy to use in the interior.
Katrina, have you had any conversations with designers about dealing with allergic reactions?
I haven't actually. But what I wanted to say was what we do for our pets who are allergic. I had a Vizsla who was highly allergic to house dust mites, is you have to hoover all the time every day and you have to cover your mattresses in these anti-allergic mattress covers, which you can get from John Lewis. And they're not expensive. You can't do too much about it because house dust mites are everywhere in our lives.
If all else fails, you could have a pet house dust mite, couldn't you? And call it George. Maybe. So which other countries are leading the world in this area? But is this a global phenomenon?
I definitely think it's a global phenomenon. At least for us, our clients are very international. So, and most of them are pet owners. We have from all the way from the US, a lot of US clients, I think, also are, there seems to be a lot of like more extravagance when, you know, they want to invest in the well-being of their pets. We, you know, also see that with our European clients. So it's, I think it's definitely more of a global thing.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, a lot of the content that ends up appearing on my Instagram feed is about pets and design for pets, because that's what I've accidentally looked at. And you can just see from the sizes of a lot of the properties that they're American, or certainly not UK-based. Some of those understair dog spaces that you see, the sizes of staircase that you certainly couldn't get in North London.
Yeah. I mean, can I also add, we do a lot of super yachts, and a lot of our super yacht owners are also American. And even on that that side, they also make sure that the well-being of their pets, or for me, their dogs, because they're dog owners, we also integrate that really well on their super yacht.
On-off ramps for dogs into the sea.
Exactly. We do little custom little ramps so that, you know, the dog can jump out of the swimming platform and then find their way easily back on the swimming platform.
Also, back like, onto their sun lounger.
Now, we've talked a lot about cats and dogs, but Katrina, I bet you've come across some crazy animals, haven't you?
I want to tell you about the parrots I've heard about.
Parrots?
But I want to, right. Yes. I did an email around my favourite designers and they all came back with mad things. So this is by Elysian, and they have given over an entire floor, it is the basement, in a Knightsbridge house to parrots. And I Googled what it would cost, a flat that size, a thousand square feet of real estate
in Knightsbridge.
So they've given £2.8 million worth of real estate over to their parrots, their rare breed parrots. They consulted an aviary specialist and they put in an acoustic ceiling so that the rest of the house wasn't disturbed by the parrots. And the idea is the owner is a specialist. He's got a little study. He can look through the window at the parrots and he has a couple in with him all the time, because they are pets as well. They're quite affectionate. And you can watch the other dozen or so flying around. They have, I don't know how long you want me to talk about the parrots.
No, please, carry on.
Carry on.
Fascinating.
They have ropes dangling from the ceiling where the parrots can cling on, I guess a bit like trees in a tropical forest. They have a wire mesh on the walls so that the walls aren't damaged. And it's paradise in Knightsbridge. There was a tortoise summer house.
Oh, tell us about the Tortoise Summer House.
Okay, this was Charlton Brown, architecture and interiors practice, and the tortoise is called Lucky.
Lucky, lucky, lucky.
And they got a specialist from London Zoo to help create a vivarium attached to the summer house with a stable door, and they can feed the tortoise through the stable door, or they can open the bottom of the stable door, and there's a specially planted garden with dandelions and other things that the tortoise likes, so he can trot about there. And they can sit with him in the garden. And this was the only area of the house they got. I had to look up what M&E meant, a mechanical and electrical consultant in, because they wanted exactly the right temperature and humidity for the tortoise to thrive.
Lynn, is there anything crazy or mad that you've done or seen that you could compete with that?
I think for us, the dog lift is definitely our favorite thing. But what I've seen recently is it's not a project, but it's more of a product. There's this company in the States that makes like bespoke little dog houses with integrated heating, AC, TV, and bespoke interiors, and their starting point are, I think, $50,000 US. And I thought for me that was something extravagant. Yeah.
Do you have a story for us? An extravagant dog owner or pet owner?
Nothing that tops any of those.
I suppose the only other one I'm aware of is a dressage facility that was built for some very, very, very expensive horses. What, you know, prize-winning dressage horses, and you can spend a couple of £100,000 on a, well, easily, actually, £250,000 on a good horse. And so this horse has, the horse is actually called Coco, after Coco Chanel. I think I'm allowed to say that. And the horse has its own bathroom with shower and massage facilities and tack room and a special kitchen where they can make hot mashes for it. And it has a very, very, very comfortable life indeed. As you would expect.
Indeed.
Yeah, indeed.
Well done, Coco. Well, thank you, everybody. Let's have a round of applause for everyone.
Thank you so much to Lynn, Joe and Katrina for your time today. That has been a really illuminating and fascinating and amusing discussion. It's so nice to see that we are finally incorporating our animals more intricately into our lives.
Thanks also to Decorex for hosting us here today at Olympia. And a final thank you to you, our audience. We do hope you've enjoyed this episode, and please do get in touch on our social channels at Interior Design Business Pod to share any feedback. The Interior Design Business is a Wildwood Plus production. Thank you.